Hello, this is my Lenten diary for March the 24th, 2014. Today is Monday in the third week of Lent. A few years ago, a number of us here at Trinity Church read a book together. The book was intriguing, Jesus Freak by Sarah Miles. Jesus Freak tells a number of stories. It's a spiritual autobiography of sorts, as Sarah relays how her faith has grown and been challenged by and has interacted with the lives of a number of people. Lives that she has encountered as a result of her work in coordinating a food pantry out of her congregation and working for that congregation in the role of a lay pastor. This all happens at St. Gregory of Nyssa Episcopal Church in San Francisco. Many of us had any number of reactions to the book. Some of us loved it, others of us weren't so sure. Some of us embraced Sarah's theology, others of us resisted Sarah's theology. But at the end of the day, what we all became the most intrigued over was the subtitle. The subtitle of Jesus Freak is Feeding, Healing, and Raising the Dead. I'm not sure why it captured our imagination, probably because as good Episcopalians, we know how to feed people, and we want to make sure that no one goes hungry. So that seemed something practical that we could do. We know as a congregation, we put on a good feed. And as a congregation, we're very concerned about those in our community who are hungry. At some level, many of us embrace the notion that Trinity Church could be a place of healing, that people could come to this place and experience forgiveness and reconciliation, and that even if maybe they had some physical ailment from which they could not be cured, they could nevertheless experience the wholeness that is God's will for all God's people. And so we liked to think about ourselves as a place of healing. But what gathered the most discussion was how could we be a place where the dead were raised? Finally, one person said, let's just face it, that's out of the realm of possibility. That is outside our scope, and we're too practical. And why don't we just tend to feeding folks and holding out the promise of God's healing and leave the raising of the dead to God? We all had a good laugh about that, but it resonated with us that that was language that was a little tough for us to get our heads around. And I've been thinking about that conversation or those conversations that we had all those years ago today as I've been reflecting on the gospel passage from Mark that the daily office gave us. It's the story of the raising of Jairus' daughter. She was 12 years old. Jairus comes to Jesus and lets him know that his daughter is sick. And Jesus begins to make his way to Jairus' house. There's some other things that go on in the text, which could be the subject of a completely different reflection. But what happens a few verses later is that someone from Jairus' household comes to him and says, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher anymore?" Well, eventually Jesus gets to the household and raises Jairus' daughter. I'm not so interested in trying to figure out how that happened, if it happened, is it a metaphor, was it real, is it true, is there a fact to believe or not believe about this. All of that is beside the point to me today. What I was captured by as I read the story again was the people from Jairus' household who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher anymore?" I wonder, What are the times? When were the times that we decided in our own sort of rational way, I won't trouble God with this anymore. I won't trouble Jesus. I won't trouble my community, my fellow believers anymore. This opportunity is dead. My spiritual life is dead. My hope is dead. My optimism is dead. My joy is dead. Everything around me feels dead. And I'm just not going to trouble God anymore. I wonder how many times as the church we've decided, well, it's dead. A program is dead. A ministry is dead. An opportunity to do something for God is dead. It's just dead. And we just won't bother God with it anymore. We won't trouble Jesus anymore. I wonder how many times we make the decision that death gets the final word. Again, as I was thinking about this passage of scripture, I'm reminded of the Episcopal priest Robin Farrar Capon, who once quipped, "Jesus never met a dead person he didn't raise." And there are several instances in the Gospels where Jesus comes on the scene and people know that death doesn't get the last word. I wonder what it would be like if we actually believed that death didn't get the last word. How would it change our ministry as a congregation or as the people of God? One of my favorite prayers from the prayer book is a prayer that gets prayed on Good Friday and at the Easter Vigil and at every ordination. And it speaks to this God who will not be defeated, who will not stop in bringing things to life. Maybe we need to trouble God a little bit more. Maybe we don't need to be so afraid of asking Jesus to raise some things from the dead. Let us pray. O God of unchangeable power and eternal light, look favorably on your whole church, that wonderful and sacred mystery. By the effectual working of your providence, carry out in tranquility the plan of salvation. Let the whole world see and know that things which were cast down are being raised up, and things which had grown old are being made new, and that all things are being brought to their perfection by Him through whom all things were made, your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.